Forever His Champion by Marie Lipscomb, read by Connie McQueen for Saga Egmont. Prologue. After the champions of Oldland reclaimed the kingdom from the clutches of a tyrannical nobleman, they restored power to the rightful king. Unwilling to ever risk his people's lives, the king ordained that to retain their titles, the lords and ladies must take an oath. Under the oath, the nobles swore to take care of the people, protect them, and ensure their needs were met. In exchange for providing that protection, the nobles were permitted to reside in the castles of the towns and cities, and were granted a salary. A portion of taxes given by the people, supplemented by the throne. The nobles of that time were wise enough to realize their elevated position was made possible not only by the crown, but by the grace of their people. For many years, the system of government worked well. The country's monarch depended upon the lords and ladies to keep the country running smoothly, and the nobility respected the wishes of the masses. Though, of course, in time, some of them believed their position to be their birthright. As the titles were passed down through generations and the kingdom enjoyed centuries of peace, the intentions of the nobility changed, from a desire to see their people safe and prosperous to a desire to increase their own wealth. They soon realized that if the people were distracted and entertained, the mistakes and misdeeds of the nobles might be forgiven or go unnoticed. In time, as peace settled across the land, the champions became entertainers, displaying their prowess in contests and tourneys. As the popularity of the Champions Guild grew, so too did demand from the people of Oldland to see their heroes perform. Eventually, the guild began to receive petitions from the nobility, begging for the grand tourney to be held at their town. It did not take long for the guildmaster to realize the leverage the guild possessed. Chapter 1. Stifling air pressed against Natalie, and the overpowering scent of elaborate floral displays mingled with the spice of expensive perfumes which stung her nose. She wilted inside her gown, cocooned in layer upon layer of storm cloud purple silk and silver pearls. Every breath was a battle. The walls of the hallway closed in around her as she waited for her name to be called. Beyond the gilded doorway, muffled chatter and bursts of musical laughter struck panic into her heart. Parties never got any easier, and this was no ordinary party. Beyond that doorway, the most esteemed nobility of Oldland feasted and mingled, and presiding over them all was Queen Helena and the Queen Consort Isolde. Drawing a deep breath, Natalie closed her eyes and silently cursed Lady Lorelei for insisting she wear so heavy a gown, and one which hugged her figure so unforgivingly. Perspiration beaded on the small of her back. The purple silk, she had been told repeatedly, complemented her pale ivory skin and brought out the copper tinge to her hair.
"How many are there?"
Randon's deep, steady voice calmed her nerves. She opened her eyes, turning to him for comfort. He was dressed all in black, the leather-capped shoulders of his doublet overhanging just enough to add even more breadth to his already intimidating size. Silver embroidery shimmered as he shifted his weight between his feet. He held himself proudly, head high, enormous shoulders back, all too familiar with the sensation of being put on show. Whereas Natalie's neck warmed as a blush crept across her throat, Brandon's complexion was calm and cool. His beard was neat, the brown and silver bristles combed straight and smoothed with some kind of pine-scented oil. The silver at his temples gleamed against the dark.